one of those days. I had a PowerPoint prepared for this morning, and it's still on my computer. The flash drive is at home, so it doesn't do me any good here. But I have the lesson and an outline, which was luckily I did. I was going to go off the PowerPoint, but it's a good thing I didn't do that. This morning in our class, we were talking about how the Word of God has everything we need to live a godly life and has the answer to questions that we sometimes have on our daily living. And sometimes the answer is not what we want, but it's there nonetheless. Over in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, I'd like to read, starting in verse 21, Paul's telling the evangelist Timothy, he says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from your youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." This morning I'd like to key in on that pursue righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, in Webster defines it as acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin, morally right or justifiable, a righteous decision arising from an outraged sense of justice or morality, and in slang, it's genuine or excellent. Vine defines it as the character or quality of being right or just. It was formerly spelled right wiseness, which clearly expresses the meaning. It is used to denote an attribute of God. Over in Romans 3:5, there's an example and context of which shows that the righteousness of God means essentially the same as his faithfulness or truthfulness, that which is consistent with his own nature and promises. His righteousness is exhibited in the death of Christ, which is sufficient to show men that God is neither indifferent to sin nor regards it lightly. On the contrary, it demonstrates that quality of holiness in which must be find expression in his condemnation of sin. Over in Matthew, the sixth chapter, Jesus defines righteousness. And that's what I'm going to be looking at this morning as far as text is Matthew, the sixth chapter. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." King James Version uses alms there instead of righteousness. Most versions use the word righteousness. So we're going to be looking at that because Jesus in the next few verses tells us what acts of righteousness are. In verse 2, he says, "When you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." And as we look through this sixth chapter, we're going to find that these acts of righteousness are first giving, then praying, and then fasting. And first one, giving, these first four verses here, he shows what, or verse 2 through 4, examples of giving. Verse 3 says, "But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees it sees what is done in secret will reward you. The hypocrites, as he called them, and that's the word hypocrite, means to play act. These people were just putting on a performance when they gave. And he says they sound a trumpet so that they may be honored. And possibly that was the noise or sound of the coins going into the treasury, the plate, or whatever they're putting it in. Or it could be that they sounded some form of noisemaker that they should be seen giving. And Jesus says, don't do that. Do it in private. And we see over in Matthew, or Mark 12, verse 41 through 44, the widow who gave the 2 mites, or the 2 cents, the 2 copper coins. And he says there that she gave more. As he was sitting there observing those giving the coins, he noted that she gave more because she only gave the 2 coins. And she gave more than those who were rich because she gave everything. She gave everything she had, and not from surplus as they did. Somewhere. So Jesus noted that she gave more. And over in 2 Corinthians 9:7, Paul, in teaching the church at Corinth, says each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And this is not just giving of our means, but in everything we do. What about giving our time? James 1:27, James tells us to visit the widows and the orphans. And what about giving of ourselves? Over in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verses 3 through 4, he says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but the interests of others. And as we studied the book of John, 1 John, 2nd and 3rd John, they all had the same lesson there, and that was brotherly love. Looking out for fellow Christians and not just for yourselves. And that we should do good to all men, as we, as Paul said over in, I believe it was Galatians 5:18. That's, we should have the same attitude, and that is the giving for everything we do, not just our resources, but our time and ourselves. And then in verse 5 through 15 here, he says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites. Again, those that are play-acting. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. The 2 examples there, the hypocrite, they like to stand on the corners and make noise. And you know, when I first became a Christian in San Diego, there used to be people there on every corner just about who had a message. Usually it was the end was coming. And it's kind of scary when you're first converted, and that's all you hear is the end is coming. But they would stand on the corner and they would make noise, basically. And they were doing this just for attention, I thought. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. When you pray, do not pray of these play actors, but go into an inner room. And that inner room during the time of Christ was usually a storeroom, because it was the only one that had a door that shut. And so he reminds them that to go in and pray in secret and not out on the corner. And don't be like the Gentiles, again another example, who like to use repetition. I think some versions say vain repetition. But the Gentiles would start off by listing all the gods by name in hopes that they would get the right God who would help them in their need. And if anybody's ever studied Greek mythology, there are a lot of gods and for everything. So they would stand up and pray and list the hoping that someone, one of them, was going to help them. And Jesus says, don't be like that. He's not saying don't have long prayers. But sometimes, you know, when you're feeling down and feeling close to God, your prayers do go long, but don't use meaningless or vain repetition in our prayers is what the example is. And then Jesus gives a model of a prayer. In starting in verse 9, he says, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you have forgiven others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Here, a lot of people use this as the Lord's Prayer rather than just a model. And if we break this prayer down, we see that the first few lines there, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We praise God and give him honor in our prayer. And we pray for the church. And we pray for the brethren. And then in beginning in verse 11 there, he give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debtors as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. There we see that mankind, we have the needs of men. There, the daily bread and forgiveness and being able to overcome temptation. There's other things that we need to pray for. Over in James 14, James tells us to pray for the sick. It says, is anyone among you sick? Then he must call on the elders of the church that they may pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, then he will be forgiven of him. We also need to pray for the growth and maturity of all Christians. Over in Colossians 1, 9 through 10, he says, for this reason also, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be fulfilled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. There we pray for all those who are brethren and of the faith, that they grow in knowledge so that their manner may be worthy of God. Prayer is our doorway to God, His voice, if you will. Matthew 21:22 tells us there, Matthew 21:22, he says, Jesus says, "And all things ask in prayer, believing you will receive." Also in Philippians 4:6, there Paul I'll get there. Philippians 4:6, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God." We make our requests known to God, even though, as Jesus said there in the ninth verse, that God knows what we ask for already, but He says that ask for it anyway in faith and believing, and He will answer our prayers. Prayer can accomplish much. Over in James 5:16, it says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And then he gives us the example of Elijah, how he prayed that there would be no rain for 3 years, and God withheld the rain from the earth. And then after that time, he brought it so that those in Israel would know that God is God and not one of the gods. So we know that prayer can accomplish much. And we pray for our brother in sickness, those who travel, and those who are mourning. When we pray for them in faith, we know that God will hear our prayers and will answer them. The last act here is fasting. In verse 16, he says, "Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearance that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. And truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, and so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." You know, fasting. The only time fasting was commanded was before the Day of Atonement. And as the years went by, the Pharisees increased that fasting, sometimes 2-3 times a week. And in their fasting, they would put ash on their head and on their face to appear to be pious or gloomy. And to be a show unto men. And Jesus says, again, hypocrites, don't do as the hypocrites do or those play actors do, because they neglect their appearance so they'll be noticed of men. And this is this is the message throughout in these acts of righteousness, is don't do this. Don't act as these hypocrites or these play actors do. But he says in verse 17, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. That is, to look normal. Don't put on an appearance of fasting so that no one will know you are fasting. He says, those who do it get their reward in full. And as we notice, he says the same thing about giving and about praying. those who do it publicly and do it for show, they have their reward in full because they're seen of men, and man is already praising them. And as we conclude this, over in Acts the 18th chapter, it's kind of my favorite, or Luke the 18th chapter, it's kind of my favorite passage here. And this is concerning all these things, praying, fasting, and giving. He says in verse 9, and he also told a parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. But I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Note that this tax collector, or this Pharisee, says that he tithes of all that I get. Not that he earned, but that he gets. This is from other people's money, and he tithes that. Not out of his own pocket, but out of others. But the tax collector admits that he's a sinner, and he asks that God be merciful to him. And Jesus said he will be justified. Those are just a few things that righteousness covers. But Jesus shows us how to be righteous and how to conduct our righteousness, and not to be shown of men, but to keep it to ourselves. And God recognizes that, and that he rewards us in maybe not in this life, but in the next. Let's stand together and sing number 569.